Good evening, BBSRadio.com world. This is Marty Ford coming with you, to you, with another voice tonight. I have my deep Elvis voice because it is the first cold wave of the season here on the East Coast. And the minute I step out in that weather, I start hacking up lungs all over the place. So if there's a little voices interrupt us tonight, please be patient, be aware, and a little kind. This is Marty Ford. The name of the show is You About Ready. We are live on BBSRadio.com. 9 o'clock Eastern time zone, and we're coming at you with all the good things you need to learn about life, yourself, and the pursuit of accomplishing more than you ever thought possible. All because if you listen, learn, and laugh a little at the silliness that goes on here from the beautiful downtown basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawa Station, you will find that you too will become empowered as much as you want to become empowered. And when you're empowered, life is your... It's a pleasure. You have all the resources in the world because it all starts with you. Liking yourself, trusting yourself, respecting yourself, being honest with yourself, taking pride in what you do and how you do it. It's all part of becoming empowered and accepting compliments and affirmations from those in your world who look at you and find out what's going on and see this evolution of empowerment right before their eyes, and accept those compliments with grace and pride. And as time moves on and you become more and more empowered and confident and successful in your journey to success, offer those same tributes to other people as well, because they too will appreciate them as you appreciate, as you learn to appreciate them as they're given to you. And they're, remember, they're all well-deserved, especially the ones who are having times with some feelings of sadness or loneliness or depression or whatever buzzword the modern world of experts and intelligentsia has given us to describe our inner feelings and emotions and so forth. Find something that you like to do and to fight boredom, because boredom is the enemy of us all. Boredom takes you out of the game, puts you on the sidelines, become an observer, a spectator, wallowing in your own self-sorrow when you could be empowered doing what you want to do and a little bit more, because those things make you feel good. So get out and do it. Before the show starts every week, I pump myself up with some blue-eyed soul, some good music to get you moving and a grooving and a shaking and a baking and everything else that Walt Frazier rhymes on the Knicks games when he calls them, which we around here on the East Coast pretty much enjoy. I like his... predictable banter, as you will, too, if you listen to him. But I listen to music. It gets my body flowing. It gets the juices flowing. It makes me feel good about myself. I get the confidence level that I can stand here in the beautiful basement of downtown Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawa Station and talk to you and offer things, ideas, suggestions, thoughts, insight, wisdom, knowledge, information, whatever you want to call it, to help you achieve the same type of goal. Even when you're feeling bad, you put some music on. Personally, if you don't get excited, if you don't get your blood flowing, if you don't get juiced by listening to Joe Cocker singing Unchain My Heart, if you don't feel the same way by having Journey with Ariel Pinard, who replaced Steve Perry, as the lead singer, and I saw a documentary on that a couple weeks ago, how they found him almost as a homeless person in the Philippines, a country where my heart is because I spent a year and a half there and loved every minute of it. If you really want to see some moving and grooving and shaking and get yourself in there, look at Steve Winwood and put on Roll With It. You can find all this stuff for free. It doesn't cost you a dime unless if you don't have a computer. Go to YouTube, type those people in, listen to it, feel the spirit and the energy. They bring you into the world. They're like the Bryce and Zion Canyons out west. They're inviting and welcoming. Not as ominous and intimidating as and distant as the Grand Canyon with all its majesty and wonder. So find your niche, find your place, find your space, find the things that help you become who you are, who you want to become, because you're empowered to do so. And when you're dancing, it's like singing in the shower. Nobody's around. Find your place in your space and close the door, shut the lights off, do whatever you want to do, but just feel it. Energize your soul, your spirit, your body, your life. And when you're dancing, like I said, it's like singing in the shower. Nobody's there to judge you or ridicule you or observe you. You can let it all hang out, as they used to say, or we used to say in the 60s, is one of our cliches, which we'll get to in a little bit, because that's one of our features on this show, is cliches, which we have become the new profanity. And it's great to do that. It gets ugly. Now, don't bring the cards in. Leave all the cards out there. But it gets ugly, this dancing and moving and all. If you ever go to a white folks' wedding, it's just a nasty sin to look at. And because there's no rhythm. There's no coordination. There's no feel. It's just moving and shaking. And they're talking back and forth, discussing, you know, all kinds of things. The food, the dresses, the toilet paper not matching the napkins at the table. But it just doesn't have the same feel when you have some blue-eyed soul in your life. It's a passion. You're not born with it. If you are born with it, you're lucky. You can discover it in yourself when you let yourself go. And when you see others doing it, a lot of times copying or imitation is the best form of flattery. It's also the best form of allowing yourself and giving yourself permission to let yourself move and groove and feel it. And it's hard to explain. You just have to go out and do it. And you have to do it again and again. And don't have any mirrors around. Don't look at yourself. If you have pictures in your room that reflect your image, turn them around. So you'll get the feel for it. And when you're feeling it, you're doing it. Man, life is nice and it's right. And you feel the love coming from you that you extend to others and offer and suggest that they do it too. And tell them how to do it. Tell them how you do it. Now, you don't have to move to the music that I like, because I like all kinds of music. I just listed three or four groups and so forth. There's many more that I like, the Righteous Brothers, Michael McDonald, I think, from the Doobies, just off the top. But you'll find your place, your music, your generation, your era. And you'll be surprised to see how many others, as you come in contact and make it known that you're doing this thing, will say, hey, wow, that's pretty good. I tried it. I liked it. And I'll find mine. It's limitless. Just go on there. There's millions of opportunities out there musically. Because music, it can make you lose control, but it can make you feel your soul as well. I'm quoting somebody's song from about 10 years ago, and I regret to say that I can't remember who it was or who it is. So feel the music, and what I really like to do is connect every TV in the country, public, private, corporate, wherever it is. I went to one airport one time, and I had to wait for the plane to come in, picking up the kids, and there was a little restaurant bar right in the middle of the terminal there, and it wasn't no bigger than a garage. I counted 32 TVs, all playing different stuff, right? From talk to news to sports to the Weather Channel. Where else can you get the Weather Channel 24? Did you ever think in your life that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week could be consumed by the weather? I guess that's how, it's an example of how shallow our lives have become. When we have to look at something and watch weather, living on the East Coast and saying, wow, Utah has a big storm. I'm glad I'm not there. And it's the same thing the networks have, especially the cable networks, have mirrored that. And they've expanded to give us the tragedy of the day, the exclusive, breaking, shocking, bizarre news of the day that we all get glued into because our lives are so empty because we're not moving to music. We don't hear the beat of our own drummer. We're limiting ourselves to the electronic screen. Shut it off. That's one way to fight boredom. Put it on to get what you need out of it and then get rid of it. Temporary. Whatever, however few, as few minutes as you can give it, use those. But give more minutes to yourself because then you'll be fighting boredom. You'll have opportunities to fight boredom, the enemy of us all, and you'll be able to do something else. One of the subjects of one of the three books I've written. Here I go. First book is Power Up Your Power, which is about empowerment. Now, these aren't books like Michener or Ken Burns writes. These are little pamphlets, sources of information. Power Up Your Power is about empowerment, obviously. Things to do about to fight boredom, the enemy of us all, obviously is about boredom. And the third one is about the kids who we've ruined. The kids we've ruined in the past generation because they don't get up, get out, and get going. That's the name of the book, which is really called G-Verb, Get Up, Get Out, Get Going. So get off their backside and get out and do stuff. Go out and play. We've robbed them of that, and I've said many times before on this show, of how we destroyed kids and have started them on the road to medication as young as middle school, and I'm sure probably in elementary school, because the kid comes home with a B minus on his science test. The parents are aghast. Oh my God, what the heck's going on? You're not like that. Boom, boom, boom. Before you know it, there's a conference with the teacher. They bring in the school psychologist. They go to see if they test the kid if there's any special education needs, learning disabilities, of which some are legit. Most are manufactured by the families. In fact, when a kid goes to get classified, so they get what they call an IEP, Individual Education Program, or whatever it is, they bring lawyers with to fight the school because the schools have to pay for all this stuff in services. Smaller classes, aids, extra time on tests. Some of it is desperately needed. They had it when I was in school, maybe I'd have turned out a little bit better than I am today, because I had troubles reading back then and retaining information and so forth. But that's another story. We're not getting into that. So we're ruining kids. We're Medicaid. Oh, so the parent goes to school. The kid goes through all the process with the parent, the teacher, and it's always the teacher's fault, et cetera, et cetera. So the parent takes the kid to the doctor upon the school's recommendation. The mother says, he's not concentrating. The teacher said he lost focus the past week, and he messed up on his test, and there goes his GPA and his chance to get into a name brand school, and our life will be miserable at the country club and in the private arenas that we live in. So what are we going to do? Well, let's just give him some drugs. We'll drug him up, right? And that's where the process starts. First with illegal prescription drugs, and as they take their toll, then on to the more, I guess, radical and more select, more opportunities for the illegal street pharmacy drugs that are out there. It's a terrible cycle that we're in, but it is business. You know, anyone who's ever sold drugs knows everything they need to know about business in general without going and getting degrees in macro and micro economics, without going to the name brand, you know, fancy schools that teach you all about all this stuff to put you in the corporate world so you can end up, as many of them do, committing the sins of greed. And taking people's money. So that's a tough thing to do, too. So the kids, if you sold drugs, and many kids do, in the inner urban areas where it's a terrible thing, it's sold for two reasons. One, hopelessness. For many, it's a hopeless endeavor to get out of that environment. So the way to get money is to sell drugs. That's it. The other way, of course, is just to make money. But in the upper class, the people that have all the money and the cash flow and the connections in the world of business and government and corporations and cash coming in from various endeavors, the drugs have been there as well. Right? And those folks use it for fun. Oh, let's go to the hood. Let's go to the corner and get it some dangerous white powdery substance. Not salt and sugar, which are the two most dangerous white powdery substances. Let's go get some dangerous white powder. And they take it back to their palace and they go through the motions. And they're doing it for fun, for entertainment, as I'm trying to do here through this seasonal dilemma of the bronchial connections failing. So it's always been at the bottom and at the top of the social strata. And when it hit the middle in the 60s, it's exploded. But if you've ever sold drugs, as I said, you know everything you need to know about business, because you buy in bulk, like a real estate developer buys a big piece of land. You buy whatever portion of whatever you're selling, and you chop it up into small pieces. The real estate guy sells lots and builds houses on them to other builders, or does it himself, or hires out, makes money that way. And the drug sales folks, the street pharmacy folks, buy a product, chop it up in bags, and take it out and sell it. And the marketing is not as extreme like the big corporations that have to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to increase their market share by 1%, which could represent, you know, millions and millions, or if not more, of dollars. And then customer service. You know, you have customers as a street pharmacist, and that you get called. It's like the old songs, you got to call and respond. Because if they don't buy it from you, if you're like busy watching TV or doing something else, sleeping or stuffing your face someplace, then they're going to go somewhere else. You're going to lose market share. So you have to be in line with your customers. When they call, you must respond. Same in business. When the phone rings, for some companies, that's when the problems begin. But for most companies who know what they're doing, small to mid-sized companies, without the layer upon layer upon layer of nepotistic favor to employees, the call comes in and business is generated. Right? Nothing happens without a sale. No movies or TV shows or anything is done without a writer. And the writer's usually music as well, too. I'm sorry, since I love music so much. So the writers don't get the big returns, not unless you're very famous and lucky and connected. There I go again. So, straight up, if you want to call in to bbsradio.com and talk to me or cough with me and you have something to say, the number is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Yeah, it's terrible. I'm sorry. I apologize. This is not a professional way to operate. But I wanted to try to go through this as best as possible. Because, oh, you can also send me an email at hamp73@gmail.com. Hamp73, H-A-M-P, @gmail.com. Yesterday, I was at the dentist having some 50-year-old fillings replaced. These folks who do that kind of work, any kind of, it's remarkable, and we're blessed to have them in our world and available to provide those services, because I got there before the pain really set in, and he was kind enough to take care of it in one shot, and I have to go back to get more. But anyway, I had one episode of coffus interruptus during the procedure yesterday, and it was very mild and tame. Of course, I wasn't talking. I was sitting there with a mouthful of dental stuff, as well as his hands and drill. And I don't understand. I just got notice from the insurance company that one of our kids is aged out. That's what they call it, aged out of insurance for dental. And why is it why is dental different than medical? Why does it need its own world? Why can't it just be medical insurance? Because dental is not medical? I think it is, right? But it's a power of definition somewhere along the line that caused the separation of the two specialties. But medical, you get medicine if you have pain for your mouth and you take Novocaine or the laughing gas, whatever they call that stuff, to put you out so you don't feel the pain until 3 a.m. when you wake up and go, whoa, what is that? Why are they dental now? Why do I have to go out and secure a policy for my child who is aged out? Isn't that something? I don't understand. The power of definition, though. Power of definition is critical. It's absolutely critical. And if you have it, you're wonderful. The people who have it and use it only a couple times in life are parents when they have a kid and they name the kid once they agree on it. That's the power of definition. Or the kid gets it when you get a dog or a goldfish and you have a new pet in the house and you have to have a name for it. Now, we always start with a brain buster, even though we're a third way through the show. That's all right. You can move at your own pace. I do. In fact, sometimes I'm so slow, I got to speed up to stop. Tonight's brain buster is more like critical thinking. And we said before and always in this show called You About Ready, weekly, Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time Zone on bbsradio.com. Oh, by the way, there's a new process at bbsradio.com. You can go to that website and type in www.bbsradio.com/delta, D-E-L-T-A, / you bout ready, all one word, you bout ready. There's no A in about, it's B-O-U-T, / delta, / you bout ready. And my show will come up and you can find any of the, all of the past shows that we've done for the past 2.5 months, I think it is, and listen to some informative, insightful, and somewhat silly discussions on many topics, and we'll have some more tonight. Anyway, today's critical thinking brain buster was given to a kindergarten class many years ago, and they got the answer. Let's see if you're as good as a kindergartner. What's greater than God? More evil than the devil? Rich people don't want it. Poor people have it. And if you eat it, you'll die. What's greater than God? More evil than the devil? Rich people don't want it. Poor people have it. And if you eat it, you'll die. There you go. I forget last week's, if I gave you the answer to last week's brain buster, which I think was, unless I'm mistaken, which I've been known, although I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken. The candy bar with two feminine personal pronouns, that might have been 2 weeks ago, but I think it was last week. Anyway, the answer to that is the Hershey bar, right? Her and she, the Hershey bar. Makes you think. And when you think, you're using skills that we normally don't do because we live in a world of cliches. And as I said before, cliches are the today's curse words. Not as severe as George Carlin's seven words you can't say on TV or whatever he had many years ago under the genius of George Carlin, who we miss tremendously, as an informer. An entertainer, yes. Thomas the Tank Engine captain, yes. Or conductor, yes. Was in a few movies, yes. But his knowledge and use of language and the words was great. And I'm sure he's a disciple of Lenny Bruce way back in the way back day when I was probably still crawling. So this week, in the past, we've had cliches that you hear all the time. The word amazing. Everything you see out there is amazing. It is an amazing situation or product or something. And then one of my favorite nasty ones is that at the end of the day, just listen to it on TV, or more significantly, sit in a business meeting or a group meeting of whatever group you're in, the book club, right? The quilting club. And someone invariably is going to say, well, at the end of the day, and I just want to vomit. Because when you use these kinds of things, you're taking away, you're not using your brain. You know, profanity is used to shock. And because we don't take the time to think of a more appropriate word other than some body part or use of a body part or body function. So amp up, ramp up, gassed up. Those are all cliches from the past. And we have many, many more that we've done. Last week we did huge. Remember that one? That's still big, especially in kids' sports. That was huge. Right, kid sports is funny. When you don't know the kid's name in Little League, good job, seven. Way to go, nine. Two, you're up next. Three, stand closer to the ball or whatever it is. Because we don't know the kids' names. But they know their number. And we had, are you kidding me? You hear that all the time. Yes, I'm kidding you. And we had, that's a no-brainer. Or that's a slam dunk. All the time. You hear it everywhere. It used to be a lot of this stuff is related to sports, babble, that you have excess time to fill, like 3 hours on the pregame show, 4 hours of a game, and then the 3 or 4 hour postgame show, well, that's repeated during the night in case you miss it, right? If you're up late at night or early in the morning, you hear the same babble all over the time. And those guys are okay. I have no problem with it. They're making money. They're providing a service. But, geez. Is there anyone out there who can be a little bit original and not use all these things, these cliches, right? Think of something else. Brainstorm. Critical thinking will help you get there. And you can learn about critical thinking by what you hear right here on You About Ready with Marty Ford every Tuesday night at 9 p.m., even through the illness that I'm passing germs throughout the little basement down here at Bozo's Bar and Grill in Tonsawa Station. Use some thinking and try to be a little bit more not like a me too. Not to be yourself, because you really don't know who you are when you're using cliches, but don't be a me too. If everyone's eating a hamburger, go out and have a slice of pizza or a salad better. So this week's cliche, under the bus, right? That's when you're giving somebody up. You're ratting them out. I threw them under the bus. Well, that's kind of a terrible metaphorical image, right? It's awful. But we use it because we don't have anything else to say. If you can talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. If you can't talk the talk, you can't walk the walk. Whatever the heck that means. We know what it means, but after it's used so much, it loses its meaning. Here's one for all you numbers folks. Not lottery numbers. 24/7, 365. Well, we're there 24/7. We give you 24/7. You can have it 24/7, 365 days a year. Boom, boom, boom. You know, as opposed to saying something a little bit more creative, like, we're here all day, every day, and we never close. And if we never close, we don't need locks on the doors, like 7-Eleven, who was open 24 hours. A whole new level. We're going to take it to a whole new level, right? Whatever, I don't know where, an entire new level. We're going to raise the house. We're going to elevate our game. We're going to accomplish more than we ever thought possible, which you can do, and take yourself to a whole new level once you become empowered, once you stop being a me too and start being a me or a you, right? Because it all starts with you. Big responsibility. Big responsibility to take it upon yourself. Because most of us get used to and enjoy being enabled. We like other people to do it for us, right? Right? So if someone's still making your bed and cooking your food and doing your laundry and all that stuff, they're not helping you, because eventually you're going to have to go out in the world and do it yourself. And you're not ready, you're not prepared, let alone to take care of paying the bills or setting up an account somewhere or buying something. Oh, I know you can buy something online. That's easy, right? Click, 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 credit card, credit card. Now, here are two that are somewhat related, and I cringe every time I hear them, because it doesn't have to do with the here and now. It has to do with the not here and now. First one is, it's to die for. Well, if something is that good, you would die for it? I don't think so, right? Nothing is that good you would die for. I don't wait in line at restaurants because nobody's food is that good. I don't need another panini or wrap or bowl of pasta for $16. No one's food is that good that you want to, it's to die for. I don't think so. Find something else to live for, like living for yourself, becoming empowered, thinking critically, making good decisions, feeling good about yourself, right? Accomplishing more than you ever thought possible. Well, by the way, what did you have a goal this week? I always put out somewhere in the show that you should, what did you accomplish? Set a goal today. By this time next week, I will be 2 pounds skinnier. By this time next week, I will have not eaten things that are unhealthy for me. I will take my medicine every day, right? Oh, wow. I would like for once a reporter to say that interview people who just got word of somebody doing some horrible damage at a mall or on the streets or wherever it is, and then they kill themselves or they wound themselves or they get killed or they are suicide, whatever it is. And I'm tired of hearing people say, he was a nice boy. He was a good kid. He was a nice guy. Never had a problem with him as a neighbor. And this is after the investigative reporters, the ones who like to do term papers in high school and college, who weren't my type of folks. But anyway, they have nothing else to do, so they have to do all this research and dig up everything and anything, whether or not it's true or accurate or current. And they always say, well, you know, he had a history of drug use, and he was in and out of rehabs, which don't work, as we know, because they're not rehabs anymore. They're behavioral institutes, because the insurance doesn't pay for rehab or whatever the business end of it is. And he was dealing drugs. He just got a part-time job sweeping a floor somewhere. He was trying to get his life back on track, and he snapped, right? And for once, I'd like to hear people say the truth. Man, the dude was friggin' nuts. He was psycho. What's wrong with that? We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. How about the feelings of the hundreds and thousands of people who've just had a life-altering experience? Running from gunshots, ducking in, hiding in a closet, having to run out of a building, hands in the air so they don't get shot by law enforcement mistakenly, right? Which is great preparation and training by law enforcement. Well, why don't we just tell the truth about these? They're friggin' nuts. I don't like to use profanity, but you know what I'm saying. Right? I think we should empty out the jails of all the marijuana people, because all they're going to do is eat fruit and vegetables and chocolate and be happy. And we got to fill the jails because the psych places are all closing because of funding, I'm sure, or staffing. You put these people that need, you know, privacy in their life, away from the world, But no one's going to say that. They're the ones that should be in jail, not walking the streets because, you know, they had a bad childhood and they didn't get invited to the party and their father was always watching TV and never played with them and their mother was never home. Whatever the excuses are, remember, excuses define failure. Reasons explain success. And all we hear this day, we're bombarded with excuses by the electronic world out there, the screens that are in front of us everywhere we go. We hear the excuses of this, he had this, she did that, he had this, whatever. Sick of it. You got to cut the cord on that. Another cliche, cut the cord. Sorry about that. Even I'm guilty of using profanity once in a while. We just have to start telling the truth as it is. And yeah, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Too bad. Too bad. We have criminal justice. Where's the victims? What do they do? Their lives are ruined. Just ruined. And all for somebody who says, well, he needs treatment, has post-PTSD, which used to be called combat fatigue and all the other things way back in the day. Thank you, George Carlin, for the history lesson. But we're not concerned about those who have to live with these scars the rest of their lives. We're more concerned with the feelings of someone. Well, you know, when you prescribe medicine to control those urges and you don't take it, those urges are going to become real. And when you have therapy and you're not going to it, or you don't believe what you're being told or asked to do, those urges are going to become real, right? And besides, in these places that are housing those in need, how much do they pay those folks? You know, $10 an hour? Sort of clinicians, almost clinicians, resident advisors, whatever, I don't know what they call them. But they're certainly not making a lot of money, and they're held to a very high standard for accountability. You know, I'm sure blame is all over the place. So many people in the world are quick to blame, but true leadership that we talked about way back a few shows ago, leaders are actually bullies, right? We know that. Just look at tonight's results that are covered in red and blue all over the TV because it's election night around the country, and the big screens are filled with maps of red and blue, who's in, who's out, who should have got in, who didn't get in, who wants to get in, who might get in. Polls been closed for an hour, but I'm sure most of the decisions have been made and put out there for the winners, and concession speeches are on the horizon within the hour, I'm sure. But we're bombarded with election night, and a lot of the bullying goes on. But a true leader, when faced with a situation, instead of looking for blame and finding out, well, who was responsible for it and who was supposed to do it and blah, 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 and all this other stuff out there, a true leader says, hey, how do we make this right? How do we correct it? How do we fix it? How do we do the right thing for the people involved in this incident, let's call it, that didn't go right? What can we do in the here and now to make it right and later go back and find out what went wrong? Do we have to be like coaches and watch film for 10, 12 hours a day with all their assistants and not go home and be with their families? Do we need that much analysis leading to paralysis? No. A true leader says, hey, we got a problem. This is how we're going to fix it. Right? And we're going to do it now. And these are the people who are going to help make it right. And some of the ones who are helping make it right might have been the reason why it went wrong. But that's not the issue. But unfortunately, leadership does not teach that. I don't know where you learn to become a leader. Basically, I think you learn to lead as a kid by doing things that teach you life skills, like working and respecting and understanding and being responsible and accountable and held accountable for your action or inaction. That's where leadership comes from. And maybe a little bit of fear for disappointing somebody. The worst feeling you can get, the best feeling you can get is someone saying, hey, I appreciate what you did for me and with me. Not to me, but with me and for me. No one appreciates when you do something to somebody, right? That's the best feeling in the world. The worst words you want to hear is, say, man, I'm disappointed in you. I was expecting more. That's really disappointing. And maybe you can learn from this and move on. So be careful how you use all that stuff. And be careful how you give out forgiveness. Because when you forgive somebody, they're going to do it again, like Ms. Sebelius with this Obamacare. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you can't get online. I'm sorry the system isn't functioning. We're working on it as we speak. But now so 1.5 million people have been given notices that they don't have health insurance. And, well, we'll get to it. Well, I'm sorry. Well, sorry is usually limited to a character description. So when someone's telling you they're sorry, they're telling you that's who I am. I'm a sorry person. Not that they're sorry that something went wrong or isn't working properly. They're a sorry person, because if they weren't a sorry person, it would have worked when they used it, when they went to put it into use, especially in the government, when people's lives and livelihood and health is at stake. What is going on there? And so if she's looking for sympathy, you can find sympathy in the dictionary between shout and syphilis. It's right there in the middle somewhere. I don't know what page number. It depends on what book you use. And if you're looking, if she's looking for forgiveness, or people like her in leadership responsible positions are looking for forgiveness when something catastrophic goes wrong, I ain't giving it. And you shouldn't either. We shouldn't tolerate that. Where's the revolution for the world? Taxation without representation. We're here. Now we have taxation with representation. It's not a hell of a lot better. So where are the voices? Where are the kids? You know, where are their voices? They're all drugged out, sitting in front of a screen. So we're numbing them to the way of the world so the bully leaders can get away with what they're doing, like having access to insider trading. I do it because I can. Sort of a quote from Nancy Pelosi during an interview a few months ago. Insider trading. I do it because I can, because the law says I can. Well, you make the law, if not you or your cohorts. If we do it, no good. Now, back to the cliches, because I went off there for a minute, and that's okay. This is freedom. That's what we have. If you like your freedom, go up and shake the hand of a service person. Someone who's in the military, wearing a uniform, say, hey, man, thanks. Oh, and I was, oh, man. And don't do this. I was in the doctor's office the other day for a physical, which I failed miserably because I wasn't feeling good. I guess I was. I don't know. I didn't fail. You don't fail a physical. You just find out things that need attention. So anyway, it was time for the internal prostate exam. So I'm prepped for it. Roll over, side on the table with the gown, not the wedding gown, the doctor gown on, tied at the top, open at the bottom, flaps down. And he says, well, you're going to feel a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I said, okay. And he must have read my chart, found out I was in the military, and we started talking about it. And as he's deep in probe, hitting Mother Nature all the way through and up and around, looking for things, he said, oh, thank you for your service. And this is the first time I met the guy, right? Now, to allow him to do that, I trusted in his environment and his skill and his professionalism, and he is a good man. And I appreciate it, and I thanked him for his service. But to go up to a stranger who you just meet in a compromising position like that, exposed to his world, waiting for good news, and have him say, well, thank you for your service. And you hear that all the time. We hear it on, you see it on news. We're brainwashed into saying it. We're also brainwashed into saying when there's some form of life loss of a well-known person or someone in a tragic situation, and the people on the big screen say, our hearts and prayers and thoughts go out to you. No, they don't. You don't even know this person. That's another cliche that's worn and torn and should be abandoned. So let's use a little bit more creativity, all you educated communications majors who are brainwashing us with your profanity called cliches. There must be a better word for cliches. And one that's becoming more popular based on the VMA awards is... I'm sorry about that. Another cliche we have is tweaking, which has turned into twerking, and we want to thank Miss Miley for that, who was another one of those Disney products, I guess. And all I have to do to say to Disney is, what in the world are you guys doing down there to these kids? I don't know. I mean, go down the list, and one is more messed up than the other that we know in public. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes. And I don't know how these kids turn out to be who they are and what they become. Maybe they actually believe they're as good as everybody tells them they are through the life cycle, the short life cycle that they have down there. I don't know. I'm not that smart. but it's another way to ruin a kid's life. Probably got involved with medication because they couldn't practice their creativity, their art, or maybe they needed to get creative down there in Disney, which has a history of that going back to Fantasia. Do a little research and you'll find out why. I mean, dancing brooms in 1920s. I mean, let's go. Where were those guys? So those are our cliches for this week. And I'm sure we'll find more as the time progresses. Why can't we use, with all these terrible rampages out there and anger. Why are you so angry? I don't know. So I'm going to shoot up something. Why can't we use our armed military? I mean, these guys and women, they're there. They're stateside and they're training all the time. Why can't we use them for regular patrols in high-risk areas on a regular basis? And even when the public isn't in those places, keep them around, right? I know we have electronic surveillance and we have screens and all, but things still happen. The power of one, it's incredible, which might be another cliche. I almost said it's amazing, but I didn't. I said it's incredible, so I used a synonym. Ooh, wow, good for me. The power of one. I might have said this before. I can't remember because, you know, when you get older, memory starts to fade. But the power of one. I know a town very familiar with. There's a high school and 3.5 or 4 lanes of traffic, 2 main and then 2 turnoffs, pedestrian traffic, ingress and egress to the school from one driveway source. And one person controls the entire movement for about 20, 25 minutes. Traffic is backed up on the eastbound side for maybe a mile, mile and a half. Westbound side is not so bad because a lot of people are coming through the town to get to another town, which is a hub of commerce and business. And one person controls it, and there's never a problem. And I've been through there when the policeman wasn't there and before he got there or she got there. And it was a little hectic and a little bit frightening because people are inching out, darting out, backing up, doing all turning without signaling, all this stuff. But when the policeman is there, guess what? Everyone behaves. Been watching that for many years, maybe 20 years, and I've never seen a problem up there. The power of one. I've often wanted to go into the police station and, you know, affirm them for that, but I haven't done that yet. So maybe here on bbsradio.com, live Tuesday nights with Marty Ford, 9 o'clock Eastern time on You About Ready. Maybe here is the forum to do it, to reach the mass, not just in our town, but towns all over the country with the power of one. I remember driving on I-95 in Florida, which is a pretty high, intense speedway down there. And there was one police car. It was at night, and all the red lights of the brakes went on at the same time. Why? There was a police car on the side of the road with the his lights going. But there was no policeman in the car. Just the car. And everybody got in line. As soon as they went past them, boom, they sped up again. So you can see where the power of one has influence, right? So why not use the Army as a sort of quasi-police department with all the authority and the responsibilities that the police have? And put them at the malls, at stadiums, at shopping center, shopping, wherever it is, train stations, airports and all. And maybe we'll relieve or we'll deter. Right? We're not asking for the death penalty yet because deterrence, fear is a good intimidator, right? It's a motivator, it's an intimidator, right? The fear of disappointment, that motivated me. I didn't want to disappoint the family. But the fear of getting caught, right, that could deter a lot of people. And if it's just for today, that's fine. Maybe they won't try it tomorrow. But if we don't try to use it, right, and have all the experts who do the research and the studies and put all the statistical analysis and data and cost-based analysis and all that corporate crap, if we just did it to see how it worked, maybe it would. You never know. So the power of one, it's out there. We talked about that. Now the holidays are upon us. And I'm going to say, I'm going to be the first one to say, the new cliche, I didn't write it in as a cliche. The new cliche of the holiday season, which is, of course, happy holidays. When did the Merry Christmas go out of Christmas and why? Why did we let that happen? I'll tell you a story about 15 years ago. I have a Santa Claus costume that my dad procured when he was working in an army base that closed. When Mondale came to the army base and said, "Folks, we are keeping this place open. It will not close." Pop came home. We had dinner. He said, "Well, I'm putting my papers in because they're going to close it." Sure enough, 2 years later, they announced the closing, and a year later, it was closed. So anyway, I have the costume, and I've always wanted to do things, and I did a lot of things. I did my own fundraising, not for money, because I'm not a 501(c), right? But I got products from people, and we, with the kids and my wife, we went out, we distributed a lot of holiday stuff to many social organizations, as well as the police, fire, and hospitals, and so forth. And it was a good thing for the kids to experience, because you got to give back something, right? That's another cliche, but if you live in an area, you got to be part of the community. Voting isn't the limit to do that. So anyway, that was my way of doing it. So I got hired one time by a restaurant. At the time, it was a local chain of hamburger restaurants, I guess they were, or dinner restaurants. And I did it for 2 years, and the third year, and I took our daughter, who was maybe 5 or 6 years old at the time, and made her Santa's helper and put her in a nice little red sweater with a Santa's hat. And I had the costume. We went to the place. And again, it was the third year. I was met by the lady who was the coordinator. They had a breakfast with Santa. They had a magician for the kids. And then they had breakfast for Santa. And then they had Santa on a chair. And the kids would come up, sit on Santa's lap, and go through that process. The parents would be there. And they had a photographer take the pictures. And an hour later, the pictures were ready at the local camera store. And the people picked them up for free. I think they paid a few bucks for the breakfast. So it was good. We got there in time. I went to change clothes. And when I put on the costume, and when I came out, I was met by the restaurant boss of bosses. And she told me, "Okay, we have a mix of people here." I said, "Yeah, I know. It's a very cultural, diverse place. It's wonderful to see that. You know, different nationalities, races, religions, all this stuff was there. It was, three-generation families were there." And I was told not to say Merry Christmas. I said, "What?" Remember, this is, I'd say, 15 years ago. And this is probably when it started to get away from Merry Christmas. And she said, "You have to say Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings." And she explained why, that we had a mix of this. And I said, "I see that, and I understand." And I acquiesced. I gave in, right? I gave in, but I didn't give up. Next to me, when I was standing with the kids on my lap and the families around, the parents for the picture posing and all that stuff, I told our daughter, I said, "Listen, when Daddy's done with the family and they're walking away, you give the candy canes," she had a little basket of candy canes, "to the kids, and you tell the kids Merry Christmas," right? And being an obedient daughter, and a great kid all the time, both our kids, we love them, and we're proud of them, which is most important. And my daughter gave out the candy canes, and she said, "Merry Christmas" to the kids. And that was great. I felt good because I followed my direction, and I felt good that she followed my direction to her in saying Merry Christmas, because I don't believe that you should not say Merry Christmas. And I don't even know how it became an issue, but we've been brainwashed into it. And now that the Christmas stuff is out post-Halloween, for all of us to spend, I guess, the $627 per person average cost for Christmas, we don't say Merry Christmas anymore. And I even know people in the town where we live, I go up to them and I say, "Listen, is it okay if I say Merry Christmas?" And I've never been denied or rejected, right? I've never had that happen. I was always welcomed. We go to people's houses. We see them at the stores. We go to the school has a holiday program, not a Christmas program. And they sing songs from all cultural backgrounds, which is nice. But they sing the basics as well. But they don't have Santa. And they don't have a tree. And they don't have the magic of the Christmas season, which is brought to you by all the retail merchants in the country many years ago, so they have sales to generate. Because what is it, 50, 60% of a big store sale occur at Christmas? Then what do they do the rest of the year? Let everybody wander and pick through the stuff that's left over and recycled from store to store. So the Christmas is out of Christmas. I don't know why we call it Christmas. You go on holiday, you go on vacation, Christmas, you have school break now. You don't have Christmas break. They have Easter break, But now that's spring break. Excuse me. Oh, I've gone a long time without doing that. So let's be aware. And this year, say Merry Christmas. And the hell with anybody who says you're inappropriate. They're inappropriate. They're the same people who were telling us not to do that are the same people who are not letting us be a kid to ride a bike and paint your face and swing on a swing and jump in a lake and splash in the mud and the puddles. They're denying us that like the schools do. Do you know a teacher just got fired? A teacher's aide, I believe it was, or a substitute teacher, just got fired because and the guy's been doing it for years in the same school, with knowing all the families. An unruly, spoiled brat kid was unruly in class, probably one that needs to be tested for whatever condition he thinks his parents think he has so they can medicate him, or he does no wrong. The kid was unruly, and the teacher went over to the kid and tried to redirect him back into his seat, into some order. And the teacher put his palm or his fist, not his fist, his hand on the kid's shoulder, just gently saying, come on, little pain in the neck. No, come on, little kid. Sit down and let's have some cooperation so we can get on with the lesson. Well, the kid went home and said the teacher touched me. Well, parents, I think one's a lawyer. I hope a better lawyer than a parent complained to the school, and the guy got fired. Just like that. Ruined, right? Because that's what we've come to. We listen to things. We believe everything is horrible. And yes, there's a lot of those horrible things out there, and those people should be put away and off the streets. But from a simple, and yet the other thing is, when there's a crisis at school or when there's a happy time at school, the kids are there to reach out and give their teachers a hug and say thanks, maybe, some of them who were raised right. But no, not now, because the kid complained, this guy's out of a job, right? Now he's going to be out of health insurance, if he had it at all. Probably as a part-timer, he didn't. So he's going to be forced to sit in front of the screen that Sabella said she's going to fix. So you can see how everything is related. Nothing happens in an isolated way. There's a downward spiral. There's an upward mobility and a downward spiral. And you know what? It's quicker to go down than it is to go up. It's when people are negotiating to buy a house or a car or something. It's easier to come down than, I'll give you $100,000 for the house. Well, you know, I want $100,000. Well, you know, it's only worth $60,000, and you really know it's worth $75,000, but you don't start at $75,000 because then you'll be at $90,000. The whole negotiation process. But if people could be honest with each other and trust each other, we wouldn't have that. But you know, JCPenney had to create the $4.99, $5.99, $6.99 price tags that forced his sales folks or cash register people to open up the cash register and create a receipt. Because if it was $10 for a sweater and you gave the person $10 way back in those days before credit cards and everything and cameras and other security, it was easy for the employee who needed a few bucks for dinner to put the $10 in his or her pocket rather than in the cash register where it belonged. And it probably wasn't very sophisticated inventory methods back then either. So the guy was smart, or somebody in his organization that was smart. You know, good leaders surround themselves with smart and good people, and it's contagious. And it turned out to be a good thing for, I guess, business as well, to prevent inventory shrink and inventory loss. I guess the reason makeup costs so much is because so much of it gets stolen for whatever reason. The thrill or the excitement, not the need, certainly. So tonight's election night, and we know no matter who wins, the same crap's going to happen. You know, the scandals will occur, the money will be gone, and life will go on, and we'll accept that. Because that's who we are. Because people are asking us to vote for them and put our trust in them. And then, of course, when trust gets violated, it's very hard to regain. Usually in lower levels of politics, maybe local council people or assembly people or mayors in small towns, maybe under 20,000, there's a better handle on it. You know. But in the big stuff, the opportunities for greed and corruption and all that stuff far outweigh the times it occurs in the smaller areas. But we'll be hearing about it, and we're hearing about all the investigation of voter fraud and voter suppression and voter turnout and all the things that go on with an election that is one of our great resources in our country and part of our freedoms. And yet, are we really that free based on the results? No matter who gets in, the same stuff occurs. The higher up levels is more so than on the lower levels. What's the difference between a terrorist and a freedom fighter? I think I mentioned that before, because there are a lot of differences we talked about. One was men and women, a house and a home, and the difference between a terrorist and a freedom fighter, I just guess it depends on what side of the fence you're sitting on, because they both do the same stuff, you know, although we'll never admit it, but we do it too. So what's the difference between hazing and bullying? Because there's been a recent event with one of the football teams where some guys just gone wild and really bullied a teammate. And the guy who did it, this bully, has had a history of this type of behavior, and the team hired him anyway because they have to fill the team with winning performance, to fill the stands with people, to buy an $8 hot dog and an $8 bottle of beer and all the other things to sell, sell, sell. At what cost do we do that? Right? And where do we draw the line? Says, man, you ain't playing. You ain't on the team. And maybe you should get some help. And maybe you should be put away and let some of the marijuana take. You're so big, maybe you take 2 cells where the marijuana people are. And you eat a lot, so maybe you'll lose weight. We don't have to feed you that much. You're entitled because of your position. That's no good. So the bullying, what's the difference between bullying and hazing? Nothing. Nothing at all. And don't minimize the hazing type stuff. You know, like washing somebody's car, all these, I guess, sports teams or fraternity type of things where they do the kid at the band in one of the schools down south was killed during a hazing. I mean, why do we even tolerate that? Where is the leadership that says, if you get involved with hazing, you're out of the system. You're off the team. You're out of the league. We don't want you. One shot. But no, we tolerate it because that's part of our culture. I don't know if it's a guy thing. I definitely know it's a bully thing. And I definitely think it's people who do it are part of the micro and soft community, right? The micro and soft, we know what that is. It's guys that have to, not, well, I say guys, but people who have to show their stuff and drive around in their big SUVs and all the other things to show their manhood, when really, if they just drop their pants, if all the guys would drop their pants, walk around, we'd have the truth. And you wouldn't have to hide behind any bullying tactics. Because remember, the bullies pick on the weakest ones because they themselves are the weakest ones. Right? There's more to be said about that. But hazing and bullying are synonymous. And that's terrible. Right? That is terrible because there are people who are victims. And their lives get ruined just like everybody else who's tolerated in our society becoming victims of these weak, no good, insecure, ungrateful, unappreciative folks who really have nothing to contribute to society except their bullying manners. And challenge them. When you challenge a bully, they go right down. But we don't, because they don't pick on people who are going to challenge them. Right? Now, if you see somebody bullying somebody, do something about it. Maybe call the police, because they're there to help. And they do. But don't tolerate that anywhere. Right? It's not good. All right. So I wanted to talk about veterans for a little bit. If you wanted to call in to bbsradio.com, I know we're running late in the show. It's 888-627-6008. And you can email me at hamp73@gmail.com. Hopefully in the future I'll be cough free and we won't have this interruptus that goes all the time, and I won't have my Elvis voice, although I do like the Elvis voice. Thank you very much. But I want to talk about veterans. You know, Veterans Day is Monday, so if you see somebody in uniform, go up and, you know, thank you for your service, but shake his hand, reach out, you know, be sincere, say it with sincerity, not a cliche. And if you really want to do something for veterans who you know, have them go to my website, or you go to my website, www.connectwithveterans.com, www.connectwithveterans.com. It is a website where servicemen and women, former and current, or any and all from all periods of time, war and peace, can register by putting in their name, address, phone number, email, whatever else they want that's available out there. Put in their time of service, their years of service, the places they served in and out of America, the units they were with, and a nickname they might have had. Something where it's a place where they can register who they are and put it in a database. And eventually, when enough people sign up, people will find each other. Veterans will find each other. Because a lot of them, especially the modern ones, are struggling tremendously with health issues, emotional issues, etc. And all the medication and therapy in the world will not help the masses of them, maybe a few, but not all. And the best medicine for them, the best treatment for them, the best therapy for them is to be with their buddies. And with today's technology, the screens all over the place, you know, if one's on one side of the country and the other's on the other, they can Skype. And they can reach out to each other. And they can relive the times they survived together. Because that's what it is when you're in the military. No matter where you are in the world, stateside, overseas, wartime, peacetime, you're surviving. You're away from home. You're with strangers. You're learning to live in a group community area. And it can be hostile, right, amongst themselves. And it can be friendly. But coming out, especially the combat people, they're hurt. And I met some guys several years ago on the highway at a rest stop. And they were all post-traumatic type guys, and they were all struggling. They didn't know each other. And they were giving out coffee with the American Legion. They were new. Two of them just got back from a tour. One had done two tours. They were helping each other, right? They weren't even in the same outfits over in the war. But they were there to help each other. So I said, wow, what if we had a website where they could actually connect and meet? And then stay connected and communicate and relive their past and go over things. Not because when you walk in someone's shoes and you sweat their sweat and you live the life that they live over there during those tough times, you know, a stranger is not someone you want to talk to, right? In an office, in a chair, down in a pill or two. You want to talk to the people who were there with you at the same time, in the same area, with the same experiences. Right, the common ground that you share, that's most important. So let's get the veterans signed up on my website, www.connectwithveterans.com. Yes, there is a registration fee of $25, $10 annual renewal fee. The money goes to help pay for the website, which isn't that expensive, but it's nice to recoup some of that money. And all the other money, goes to deserving veterans and their families, and we will find them. We will know them by reading and communicating with them through the website, right? And I'm not talking about buying houses and stuff like that, but there are people out there, our veterans, who are not properly cared for, even though resources are there. They're not accommodating enough. They're not working enough. And we'll try to help out, right, with what we can for them and their families, right? So it's www.connectwithveterans.com. This is Marty Ford. The name of the show is You About Ready. The radio station is bbsradio.com. You can go to www.bbsradio.com/delta/youboutready. No A in about. Just you about ready. And listen to preview shows, some of which you'll hear the same stuff, similar stuff that you'll hear tonight, topics and so forth. Because until we get them resolved, until we have solutions out there, the same stuff is going to go on. Until we get people in positions of responsibility who are held to be accountable for their responsibilities, the same stuff is going to go on when we allow it. Just like the bullies. When we allow the bully to go on, they will. And that's a sad statement, right? And one of the things you'll hear about is a solution. This healthcare thing is crazy. Absolutely out of control. The simple answer is there. You can listen to last week's show. There's not time enough to go in for it now, and I'm running out of steam, and my mouth is dry, even though I'm drinking water, and I'm suppressing a cough that I don't want to go on to embarrass myself and bbsradio.com. So I will end by saying, do your research, do your homework, set a goal for yourself. Do one thing, get up, get out, get going. Help somebody, do something for somebody else, whatever the small thing it is. You'll feel good about yourself, and you'll want to do more for someone else and yourself. This is Marty Ford signing off by saying, Power up your power, because the power is in you.